All right, it is my turn. All right, turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, is where we'll be tonight. I have been waiting for this moment all year long. I'm just kidding. The seniors, though, it's been great to get to know them over this last year, and I know they're excited about tonight. And so I just want to take these next few moments. I know they were probably thinking, all right, we're done with this principal and I don't have to worry about him anymore, but I get one last chance. So you're stuck here for a few more minutes. But really, I want you to pay attention. Tonight is a message towards them. But that doesn't mean you can all fall asleep. You can all learn something, I believe, from God's word anytime it is given. We can all learn from it. So you're welcome to listen in. And I think if we follow these things that are given tonight from God's word, it will help and benefit all of us. Here in Proverbs chapter number 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they give or add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth." This evening, I want us to look at a few things that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. And the title of the message, I guess, this evening would be Guidelines for Graduates. Guidelines for Graduates. Let's pray as we begin this evening. Father, we come before you tonight, and we need your help. We need your wisdom. I pray that you would be with these seniors tonight, that you would help them to be attentive, help them as they hear this last message here, to learn about these guidelines, that they would apply them to their lives, that they would use them, and as they use them, how you will direct their life if they will follow the things that you've given to us. I pray that you speak to all of our hearts tonight, and we thank you for all that have put effort and time and money and sacrifice and to them coming to this point. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First of all, seniors, I'd like to congratulate you. This here is your last year of your high school endeavor. Your hard work, your dedication has finally paid off. And you've passed one of the many road marks that are set before you in life. But as with anything in life, here as you end one season of something, this is just now going to begin a new season of something else. And so as you're ending one and you're moving into another, I want to give you three things that I think would be a help to you and a benefit to you as you move on. At the point that you're at right now, a lot of the decisions that you're going to make will impact your life in a greater way than ever before. A lot of decisions that you are going to make from here on out are going to affect your life and are major decisions for the rest of your life that will impact you for the rest of your life. So I want to give you three guidelines here this evening that I believe will help you. You know, guidelines are something that are helpful. It's not something that you have to have. I know you're probably sitting there, "I'm tired of rules, I've had rules, and now that school's over, you'll never have another rule to follow again." But it's like, you know, you take a piece of paper. There's some paper that are blank, there's nothing on it. And I've tried to do this before, not that I am, if anybody that's seen my writing knows that I'm not a great penmanship person, just sort of run my family, blame my parents for it. And you try to write, and you write on a blank piece of paper, it's not straight, you're done, and it's like all over the place, it's like different sizes and different shapes, and you're like, okay, what in the world was that? But then you can find a piece of paper that's got lines. If you follow those lines, and you learn to do that in elementary, you know, you follow the lines, stay in the lines, you know, all this stuff. And you follow that, makes it a whole lot easier when you look back on it. You say, oh, wow, look at that. It actually looks nice. I followed the lines, and it looks good, rather than taking a piece of paper, and there's nothing there, and you scribble away, and when you look at it, you're like, oh, what is that mess? And so in your life is the same way. There are guidelines that I'd like to give you tonight that will be a help and a benefit to you, so that when you do get the end of your life or get farther down the road, you don't have to say, oh, what a mess. Oh, man, I wish I hadn't done this, or I hadn't done that. I wish I had done these things. First guide I'd like to give you tonight is remember what you have been taught. In verse number 1, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Remember what you have been taught. You have sat through forever. For you, that's probably how it's felt, for hours and hours of education, of teaching, and all kinds of stuff that you keep getting, even lectures, whether from, not me, but parents, and other people and teachers and saying this or that, that they've given you these things. You've sat through a lot of things and have heard many different subjects and learned all kinds of things that have been important. And while those academics are good, even more important, you've heard a lot of spiritual things. You've been given a lot from God's Word. You've heard over and over again things. You've had chapel every week. You've had a Bible class each and every day and over the weeks and over the years. And you've heard a lot of Bible. And that is very important. One of the most important things you can get is to learn from God's Word. Amen. As you remember what you have been taught, keep God's Word in your mind. It's easy to forget. Now, for some, it's like me, it's easier than other people. I don't have to work at it. It just comes naturally. You know, you introduce yourself to somebody, and you say, oh, hi, Frank. And then you turn around, and then you turn back. What was his name again? I can't say anything. I'm going to look like a fool. He just said his name to me. I don't remember it. But keep those things in your mind. You know, that all the Bible that you've been taught and all these lessons that you've learned from God's Word are important that you keep them in your mind because it's easy to forget. You can choose to ignore it. You can say, you know what, I'll never need this. And I've said that about some subjects. You know, you're taking a subject, you're sitting there, and you probably thought of this. I'm never going to need this. I gotta sit through this and take this, and there's no way I'm ever going to use this. And now I'm thinking, I wish I'd listened, I need it. And you'll probably get there too. But with God's Word, it's different. There'll never come a time in your life where you'll be able to say, you know what, I don't need God's Word, or God's Word isn't relevant. God's Word will always be relevant. God's Word will always be something that you can have to follow that will always be there and will always guide you. It is something that will always be something you can use. Anything that is from God's Word. So don't let it be or consider it a waste to say, oh, I'm never going to need this. Because there'll come times in your life when you will need it. I guarantee it. Or you can just ignore it. Or you can cease to care and say, oh, it doesn't really matter. I don't really matter. When I was in high school, I got the privilege to take 2 years of Spanish as well. And some of you, I think, took Spanish. They're like frowning. I thought, I'm never going to need this. Now, I had enough trouble with English, let alone a second language. But I tried, but I could have tried harder, and I thought, I'm not going to really need it, and I never kept up with it. And, you know, really, the only things that I've got now are I use to dismiss class with is the Spanish I've got. At the end of, see, on Fridays, the class time is different, and so the bell doesn't work for those different hours, so I have to dismiss every class. And so, fortunately, I do have two words that I do remember for class. I can already hear them being whispered. Is my Spanish is limited to classo dismisso. And so at this point, you know, I could use Spanish. I'm thinking, oh, man, I could use Spanish if I just had it, if I just remembered it, if I kept it in my mind. But I didn't use it. I didn't keep it in my mind. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll need this. I didn't really care that much. But it's, you know, even worse than treating my Spanish the way that I did is treating the Word of God that way. Is to say, someone to say, you know what, I don't really need it, I don't need to read it, I don't need to use it, it's not going to be that important. And what a tragedy for someone to say that. And I hope tonight, I don't think you would say that, but in our actions, we need to make sure that you follow God's Word. Keep it in your mind. You know, you were given God's Word to use it. not only keep it in your mind, but obey it from your heart. There in the second part of verse number 1, he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, to know what is right is good. You can know what's right, and you've been taught what is right, but better than just to know what is right is to do what is right. It's one thing to have the knowledge and to say, okay, I know what God's word says, or I know what a teacher has said, and I know they've taught these things, but it's another thing to take them and do them and use them. It doesn't do much good for somebody to take those things and have them in their mind and say, I've got all this knowledge, but never use it. It's only of value if you take what you know and you use it. You know, obeying God, or obeying because you have to, is good. At this point, there have been things you've kind of had to obey, and your parents say, you better do this or else. But better than just obeying because you have to is obeying because you want to. It ought to be in your life. It shouldn't be, well, I guess I'll do this because I have to. Well, I guess if God says it, I have to do it. It should be, I want to do it. I love the Lord. I'm thankful for what he's done for me. I mean, he gave his life for me. The least I could do is be thankful and grateful for what he has done for me and to want to serve God with my heart. And here you're at the point of approaching, now you're going to be making some major decisions on your own. You have some big things ahead of you to decide. And with those things in front of you, it's important that you obey God from your heart. And many times you see a difference from young people that, yeah, they went to a Christian school, but they obeyed because they had to. And then as soon as they graduate, you say, what happened? Well, they weren't obeying because they wanted to. They were obeying because they had to. And may all of us in our hearts obey God because we want to. To follow God's word because we want to, not because we have to. Second thing I'd like you to think about tonight, not only remember what you've been taught, but don't overestimate your own abilities. If you look at verse number 5, it's a more familiar verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The temptation right now and in the near future is going to be rely on you. Why, now you have the knowledge. You know everything there is to know. You're seniors. There's nothing else to learn. You've got it all. I know you may not think that, but you might. But you may tend to rely on yourself. And that's human nature, to want to rely on myself, to think that I can handle something, that I can do something on my own. But the Bible, and the world teaches that as well. The world teaches you, follow your heart, follow your dreams, do what you want to do. What is it that makes you happy? Well, not a good solution, or not good ideas to follow. Because whatever the world says to do is always opposite of what God says to do. What God says to do is, he says, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't trust in yourself. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust the Lord and to put confidence in man. Trust the Lord above all else. Don't overestimate your own abilities just because you think you have the knowledge, or you think you have the experience, or you think you've arrived at some point, whether now or later on down the road. Don't overestimate your abilities. Trust the Lord. Here it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Believe that God is good. It's hard to trust somebody you don't believe is good. But God is good. Believe it or not, young people, but not everybody's going to have your best interest at heart. Right. As you get out there in the world and you're starting to make decisions and you've got your occupation and you're getting your family and you're doing all of these things, not everybody's going to think, what can I do to help you? Because as I just stated, what is man's idea? The world teaches, think about me. Do what makes me happy. So just like you're thinking, if you're thinking the world's way, I'm going to do what makes me happy, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do what makes them happy. And if you're in the way, well, then we've got to do what we got to do to get around you so I can get my way. But I can encourage you and remind you that God is good. God has your best interest at heart. We know that because the Bible says that he loves you and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. Nobody else would do that. Nobody else, I don't think, would be willing to do that. No one else could do that. But yet, God did. Why did he do that? Because he had your best interest at heart. He wanted you and every person to be able to have a home in heaven and have their sins forgiven. Psalm 34, verse number 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalm 135, 3, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." Psalm 145, 9, "The Lord is good to all." Don't trust in yourself and your own abilities, but trust in the Lord above all else. Believe that he is good. Believe that his will is good. Romans 12, 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God's will is good. God's will is perfect. Now, Satan's going to place in your mind that if you follow God, or if you surrender to God, or if you do what God wants, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be pleased with the results that you get. Believe God and his will is good. It is. If God is good, and he is, then God's will be good as well. And you can trust his will for your life. God has a plan for each one of you. It's not that God only has a plan if you go into the ministry or if you go into full-time service. God has a plan for every person. God desires to use each one of you in a great and mighty way. You've got to believe that his will is good. And not only that, believe he only wants good for you. God wants good for you. If we reverse it the other way, I can remind you that Satan's desire is not that it would be good for you. Yet we think in our mind, if we have the things of the world, or if we do what we want, which is the problem to start with, that will all make us happy and we're going to be okay. And that's a lie of Satan. We're not going to be, and it's not going to have a good result. Satan doesn't want what's good for us. He wants to destroy your life. He doesn't want you to be a testimony to the world. He doesn't want you to be effective in your ministry for the Lord and accomplish anything for God. His desire is that you would be destroyed. You've got to believe that God only wants what's good for you. Romans 8, 28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." If you trust the Lord, things will work together for good. They always do. Because God is good and his will is good and he wants what's best for you. Joseph said it as well in Genesis chapter 50. He said, "You meant it unto evil, but God meant it for good." You know that as you trust the Lord, even if someone else wants to do something evil or plans evil, that God can still turn it for good. That's hard to grasp and understand, that if I trust the Lord, as Joseph did, even though some other people mean to be mean to us and want to use us in a bad way and have bad ideas for us, God can still turn that around for good in our own lives. But don't expect that to happen if you don't trust him. It seems that some Christians think that if I do God's will, or if I surrender to the Lord, he's going to mess my life up. He's going to ruin my life. But let me remind you that God does not need your permission, and God doesn't need you to surrender to his will to mess up your life, that's what he desired. He could do that whether you want him to or not, but he won't. That's not his plan. His desire is that you would have good in your life. So here, believe that God wants what is good for you. And not only trust the Lord, but commit to the Lord all areas of your life. Here we heard a song before, "Consider the Lord." Perfect with this. Here I'd like you to see in verse number 6, he says, "In all thy ways, acknowledge him." Here's the challenge. Acknowledge him. That's a challenge for all of us. But it's important to consider the Lord. So I want to encourage you to consider the Lord in your life, in every area, not just the ones that you think would be a good idea, or the ones that you think you're supposed to, or the ones that seem like it would be a good idea, but to surrender to the Lord, commit every area to Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Not certain ones, but for a Christian, it should be every area of your life. Consider the Lord in your education as you continue to go on. Consider the Lord. Consider the Lord in your vocation and what you're going to do as your occupation with your life. Consider the Lord. Consider the Lord in your location, where you're going to live, where you're going to do business, or where you're going to raise a family. Consider the Lord in your association, who you're going to marry, the people that you're going to work with, the church that you're going to attend. Consider the Lord. Acknowledge Him. But let me remind you, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you acknowledge the Lord. It's not an automatic thing because, oh, I'm a Christian, so you just acknowledge God in your life. Acknowledge is a choice. You can be a Christian. There are many Christians that acknowledge or know God or that they're a Christian, but they don't acknowledge God. God's not a part of their decisions. God's not a part of their life. Oh, maybe on Sunday, but if we read this correctly, it doesn't say acknowledge God on Sunday. That's it. As a Christian, I'm to acknowledge God in all my ways, in everything that I do. What a challenge. And so here he gives this challenge, but not only that, notice the commitment. In all the ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You acknowledge Him, He will. It's a promise. He will direct your path. The problem is, many people want to get to the end of the road. They didn't acknowledge God. They didn't think about God. But we want to get to the end and blame God. We can't not acknowledge God and say, oh, I don't really care about the God, Lord. I don't really care about these things. I don't really care about this. And then we get to the end, don't stand there and blame God because the life didn't turn out the way it was supposed to or the way that you thought it might. You and I are to, as Christians, to trust the Lord, acknowledge Him in every way. And if you do that, He promises to direct your path. There's a man who was flying an airplane and went into a terrible storm. It was black, thunder, lightning, couldn't see. I don't know, that makes me nervous thinking about it. Yet he had some instruments. He couldn't see anything. He didn't know exactly, memorize by seeing, know which direction was what or what his elevation was or any of that stuff that he needed to know. What he did have, though, was the instruments in the panel there that he could look at, and he had to trust them. And as he went through the storm and got closer to his destination and began to descend where it said he was supposed to, and it said he was lined up right and he was going the right direction, and as he came down low enough, he finally came through the clouds and he found that he was right on target. He was at the right altitude, coming in for a landing. He was right in place. Everything was the way that it should be. And young people, same way with God's Word. There are going to be tough times in life. There are difficult days. It happens. And they're going to come to a point where you're not going to be sure what to do. There'll be times where you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going from here. I don't know. I just don't know. But if you follow this instrument right here that God has given you, and you do what it says, and you trust the Lord like it says to, if you follow the Lord and you acknowledge Him in every way, even though you're not sure, you can't see what's going to happen, I promise you, and God's Word promises you, that He will direct your path. Amen. And when you get to the other side, you're going to be able to say and look back at your life and say, all right, this did turn out good. It did turn out the way that God said it would. And it did work out for good because I trusted the Lord, trusted the instrument. But don't expect to be in the right place when things get tough, if you're not going to follow God's Word. He's given it to us so that we can follow it. Remember what you have been taught. Don't overestimate your own abilities. And number three, consider the consequences of your decisions. Consider the consequences of your decisions. Think of all the decisions that have been made up to this point in your life by you or your parents. And we're talking thousands, I don't know, maybe millions over the years of decisions, of people taking you to the sports games and buying you clothes for school and buying you school supplies every year. That's a lot of money. In case you didn't realize that, that's a lot of money. Adds up. All the things, and in the times where it crossed their mind to kill you because of things you did, but then they push that out. Good decisions. A lot of decisions up to this point. But the thing about decisions is you can make choices, but you cannot choose your consequences. You get to make your choice, and you can choose, and that's what you've been wanting to. Oh, I get to do my own thing. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I don't have to listen to what they say. I get to make my own decisions. But remember, with that, you don't get to choose your consequences. There was a man who was walking down the beach one day. As he's walking down the beach, a bottle washed up. He bent over and picked it up and opened the bottle, and poof, out came a genie. And he thought, I was dreaming and hoping this day would come. He said, I'm ready. If this ever happened, he said, I had three wishes. I'm ready to go. And the genie said, thank you for freeing me. I've been stuck in here for, it seems like, forever. I'm going to give you three wishes. He said, the first wish. All right. First thing that I want to wish for is $1 billion in a Swiss bank account. And poof! There in his hand appeared a receipt. It had $1 billion, had the account numbers and everything. And man, he was excited. Like, oh, it's awesome, $1 billion. How many be excited about $1 billion? All right, everybody's awake now. Everybody open up. Billion? What? $1 billion? What? $1 billion. Then he said, oh, my second wish, I want a brand new Ferrari right here. And poof, right next to him. That hasn't happened. Has that happened to you yet?
Not yet.
Not yet? Yeah, me either. I'm still waiting. Oh. Brand new Ferrari right there next to him. And so he thought, third. All right. It's like, all right, for my last wish, I want to be irresistible to women. And poof, he turned into a box of chocolates. Now, you get to, it seemed like a good idea. Him and a genie didn't have, I don't think, the same concept in mind there. But you get to make your own choices, but you don't get to choose your own consequences. And as funny as that is, in life, there are many people that have said, all right, I get to make my own choices. And then they look back and say, well, that wasn't what I was planning on. I didn't think it was going to turn out this way. I didn't think this was going to happen. Consider, as you're making decisions, consider the consequences. Three words I'd like you to keep in mind. One is child, a child of God. Know you're saved. And I know each one of you give testimony that you are. In a few minutes, that you're all excited about, in a few minutes, when you call your name, they're going to play the audio, has you talking on it, and each of you put in there about when you trusted Christ as your Savior. But that is the most important decision anyone could ever make. And that decision is important because the consequence is totally different. For the person who trusts Christ as their personal Savior and puts their faith and trust in Him, there's a home in heaven. For those who don't, there's hell. That's not what God desires. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, for my sins, paid for the sins of the world. So that any person that puts their faith and trust in Him can have their sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. I hope that you've done that tonight. Important decision. Decisions that we make have consequences. Child. Second is choices. There's pleasing God or there's pleasing self. For a Christian, that's what it comes down to. Am I going to please God? There's consequences. Be good. Am I going to please God with my life? Or am I going to please myself? Am I going to do what makes me happy? What are those choices are you going to make? Then third is consequences. And here we find in verses 11 and 12, he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. As Christians, God cares about us as children and says, as you live your life, if it's not the way that it should be, I will. There are consequences as a Christian that God will work in our lives to help us to live the way that we should, to do the things that we should, to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to him. And as you get to make decisions, you don't get to choose the consequences that come along with them. I want to give you a few examples from God's Word. I'm sure there's a lot, but I'm going to go through a few real quick here. The people made choices and suffered the consequences. Adam and Eve made a decision to eat what God told them not to and suffered the consequences. Cain made a decision to kill his brother and suffered the consequences. Esau made a decision to sell his birthright and suffered the consequences. Lot's wife made a decision to look back and suffered the consequences. Pharaoh made a decision not to let God's people leave Egypt and suffered the consequences. Moses made a decision to hit the rock and suffered the consequences. Nadab and Abihu made a decision to offer strange sacrifice to God and suffered the consequences. The 10 spies and the children of Israel made a decision not to trust God and enter the promised land and suffered the consequences. Saul made a decision to spare the enemy and suffered the consequences. Eli made a decision to not discipline his kids and suffered the consequences. David made a decision to commit adultery and suffered the consequences. Absalom made a decision to take control of his father's kingdom and suffered the consequences. Solomon made a decision to marry many heathen women and suffered the consequences. Haman made a decision to destroy Israel and hang Mordecai and suffered the consequences. Jonah made a decision to run from God and suffered the consequences. Ananias and Sapphira made a decision to lie to God and suffered the consequences. And Judas, he made a decision to betray Jesus Christ and suffered the consequences. You can see a lot of different things that happened, and these are all different types of decisions that people made that were not good, and they all suffer the consequences. Don't think, as what's in so many people's minds is, it won't be me. Here we have a whole lot of examples and many more of people that would say, you would think, oh, maybe it wouldn't happen to them. And there are other people in the Bible say, oh, it wouldn't happen to them. But it happened to them. While you're free to make choices, you're not free to choose those consequences that come along with it. That's why it's so important that you remember what you've been taught. And not to overestimate your own ability, and to trust completely in the Lord to direct your path. Three things. Remember what you've been taught. We're going to close with these few things. Don't overestimate your own ability. Consider the consequences of your decisions. Here, the parents, the faculty, the staff, we all love you, and we want to see you go on for the Lord. Follow these guidelines and let the Lord make something great out of your life. I'm going to close with this last statement. God, seniors, God can make you greater than you could ever make yourself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these seniors. We thank you for the special time that has come in their lives, but Lord, I pray that they would follow these guidelines, that they would be careful in their lives, the decisions that are coming up, big decisions. And Lord, help them to remember this one thing, if nothing else, as they follow these guidelines, is that you can make their life greater than they could ever make themselves. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity we had to teach these seniors and to have an impact in their life. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.